Okay, so last week we finished with the general thoughts and overview of Judges. And so we're going to go ahead and pick up on the outline of the events of the book of Judges. And first it kind of starts off with an introduction with chapters 1 through chapters 3. And you see the efforts and difficulties they have in occupying Canaan. And you see many failures that they did. You begin to see the life after Joshua. Which sadly was much of disobedience. When Joshua and his generation died off, sadly there was no strong central leader as a role model to be able to keep the people's hearts following the Lord. And so because of that, everyone went their own way and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So much disobedience followed. After that, we see the first series of judges, which is chapters 3, verse 7 through chapters 8, verse 32. The first one is Othniel. He was the first judge after Joshua. And then you see Ehud. And Ehud had fought against the Moabites. And he was a left-handed guy. And he ended up delivering the Israelites from the persecution from Moab. After him was Shamgar. And he fought the Philistines. And then next was Deborah. Deborah. Yep, so D-E-B-O-R-A-H. Deborah. Yep. So Deborah is a very unique woman. She's a female prophetess, and she is the only female judge. She directed Balak to fight the Canaanites. And so she was the only female judge of the judges. Again, her name is Deborah. It's your fill-in there. After Deborah came Gideon. Now Gideon, we know a lot about Gideon, how he threw out the fleece and different things, and he ended up defeating the Midianites with only 300 men. And that is an amazing feat, but it was all to show and give God the glory. And again, we see the sifting process that God brings Gideon through to whittle down his army until he just has those 300 men. And it's an amazing, event in the Bible. And then after you have Gideon, you have a man by the name of Abimelech, and he became a leader through treachery. He was not really a good guy. Abimelech was not the greatest of the judges. After that, you see a second series of judges. The first one was Tola, and after him was Jair. Then Jephthah, who sadly he lost his daughter due to a rash vow. You know, he prayed and asked, and he made a vow and said, God, if you will give the enemy into my hands, I will give you what the first thing that comes out of my doorway when I come home. And sadly, what happens is God does give him that great victory. But as he was returning home, as he was nearing his house, the first thing that left his home was his only daughter. And so he kept his vow, and she kept her vow. And so basically, now some people think, well, then he must have sacrificed her. Well, no, he didn't. God is against human sacrifice. He hates it. He never condones it. And so what had happened was, is that I believe that she then lived the rest of her life worshiping and serving God at the tabernacle in Shiloh. And so she dedicated the rest of her life to the Lord. And so, but that was really the last time that Jephthah was going to be able to have that close relationship with his daughter. But he lost that relationship because of a rash vow. So it's a good warning to us to be careful of the things that we vow or the promises that we make in haste. Because sometimes they will end up costing us more than what we really want to pay. And so it's a good example for us. After Jephthah was a man by the name of Ibzan. Then after him was Elon. And then Abda. And then lastly, another famous judge by the name of Samson, who fought the Philistines single-handedly. And there's a lot of several chapters about Samson, and both the good and the bad. And sadly, Samson was a life of that was very tragic. Even though his parents, they were not able to have children, and God gave them a great miracle of being able to have this child, and he was going to be a Nazarite from his birth. And God had great plans, I believe, for Samson. But Samson allowed his flesh to interfere with what the plan that God had for him, and it got him into trouble, a lot of trouble. And so I believe God could have used Samson in a greater way, but he was limited by the decisions that Samson had made of his own life and the lust of his eyes and the lust of his flesh. Samson loved women, and that was something that really destroyed him. And he had a big lust problem, and ultimately it cost him his life. After Samson, you see an epilogue, and kind of some very tragic things happen after Samson. The first one is the migration of Dan, both to the extreme north and to the south. And then after that, the near destruction of the tribe of Benjamin. And this is the sad part. It goes on and actually gives a detail about a man making a journey, and he had his wife, a concubine, with him. And they stop in this village that belonged to the Benjamites. And they're lodging there with a gentleman from that town. And, you know, when you're a host, you take care of your guests. Well, when they had come there, the men of the city, very similar to the time of Lot and the Sodomite, and you know, the Sodomites that had surrounded the house that Lot was living in. Well, these men surrounded the life or the house of this citizen here, and where this man and his concubine were staying. And it's great tragedy, and so these men wanted to abuse this visitor, this stranger. In other words, they wanted to rape him, and but the guy would not allow it. So instead, they actually give the concubine, and they abuse her to the point where she's basically lifeless and she dies, and it's a tragedy. But this is what the sin of man will do, and as an example, he sends a message to all the different tribes and say, you know, are we going to allow this kind of manner of men to be in Israel? And the Benjamites defend these kind of guys. I mean, these were wicked, evil Sodomites. I mean, they were. What they had done to this woman was just, you can't even imagine it. And they're just what they put her through. And so because they would not bring justice to these men, Benjamin ended up going to war against the rest of the tribes and ended up being defeated greatly. And almost all of the tribe of Benjamin was wiped out. And so they had to find a way to replenish the tribe, and it's found there in chapters 20 and 21. It is sad when men do what is in their own heart and what they think is the best. It is truly sad to see the wickedness that they'll allow in their life and the society around them. And at the very end there, it says there were two more judges to come in 1 Samuel. And those two judges are Eli, so it's E-L-I, very simple name, Eli, and Samuel. Samuel was the second judge in 1 Samuel. And again, you see the cycle of judges there at the bottom. And all throughout the scriptures, you see it. See here, the people turn from God, so they abandon God. Then God judges them by delivering the people to their enemies. Then the people turn back to God. God sends a judge to rescue the people, and then you see a period of peace under the judges, but then it's just a vicious cycle over and over and over again. And that's the great tragedy of judges. And so we're going to go ahead and get into the book of Ruth. All right, so with Ruth, the author... there's not really a known author, but it's possibly Samuel, because the Bible does say that Samuel wrote a book, and so it's very possible that Samuel wrote the book of Ruth, and so that would be your fill-in there, Samuel. Some of the key words in the book of Ruth is redeem, kinsman, and glean. There's a couple of key chapters. The first one is chapter 3, where Ruth comes to Boaz at the harvest. And then chapters 4, where Boaz redeems Ruth and becomes her husband. Now, the book of Ruth is a very short book. There's only 4 chapters in it. But it's a very amazing book that God gives us. Perfect picture of redemption in the Old Testament, and exactly what God does for us when we trust Christ, and the reason why Jesus went to the cross was to redeem us. And so the book of Ruth is a perfect picture of the Christian and Christ. And so we're going to look at that a little bit more here this evening. Some of the key verses is chapter 1, verse 16, where Ruth vows not to leave Naomi. Now, just to kind of give you we'll go ahead and we'll look at that more at the general thoughts and overview here in a minute. But Ruth vows not to leave Naomi. In chapters 2, verses 15 and 16, Ruth gains favor in Boaz's eyes. And then chapters 3, verses 9 through 11, Ruth requests Boaz to redeem her. And then in chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, Boaz redeems Ruth publicly. And then in verse number 17 of chapter 4, King David's grandfather is born of Ruth and Boaz. So that's your fill-in there, is grandfather of Ruth and Boaz. So here you see the genealogy of David through Ruth and Boaz. So it's King David's grandfather. Now there's 3 themes that are throughout the book of Ruth. The first one is that the Lord is faithful in all of his business. The Lord is faithful in all of his business. Secondly, God blesses and rewards faithfulness. So your fill in there is rewards. And thirdly, God's redemption is unbelievable. God's redemption is unbelievable. So you see, the Lord is faithful in all of his business, number 1. 2, God blesses and rewards faithfulness. And 3, God's redemption is unbelievable. There's 4 key people, them being Naomi, Ruth, Orpah, and Boaz. And key places are Moab and Bethlehem. The day of the writing is, the prevalent view is a date between 1011 and 931 BC. So somewhere during that time frame is when the book of Ruth was wrote. Now, general thoughts and overview of Ruth. Now, the book of Ruth offers a striking contrast to the book of Judges, but its story is associated within the same period. In Judges, national sin and corruption portray a dark picture. But the story of Ruth, the Moabitess, which was a nation cursed by God. So it's the fill-in there is Moabitess, M-O-A-B-I-T-E-S-S.
Moabites?
Moabitess. So a woman from Moab. Yep.
Moabites.
Yeah, M-O-A-B-I-T-E-S-S. Moabitess. So Moab was a nation cursed by God, and yet here she is. She's one of a citizen of this country, and we see her loyalty and devotion to Naomi, her Hebrew mother-in-law, which presents the reader with a picture of the better side of Hebrew life in the days of the Judges, and pictures the redemption of this world by Jesus, the Redeemer. Now, just to kind of give you a background of this story, is that the book of Ruth takes place during the time of the Judges. So it's not the Judges, and then chronologically, then the book of Ruth happens, and then 1 Samuel. No, Ruth takes place during the time of the Judges. And so it actually occurs at the same time Judges occurs. It's just, it's in chronological, they just put it after the book of Judges. We kind of know just a really brief overview of Ruth. Naomi and her husband, they leave Bethlehem. They leave Israel because of a famine. They go to Moab. And while they're in Moab, her Naomi and her two sons get married. One of them is to Orpah. The other one is to Ruth. But several years after their marriage, both Naomi's husband and also her two sons die in Moab. And so Naomi, in bitterness and realizing that there's no hope for her there in Moab, decides to go back to Bethlehem. And so as she's going to Bethlehem, she basically is sending her two daughters-in-law away and tells them to go back to their families. And Orpah, she leaves, but Ruth will not leave Naomi's side. And one of the greatest verses that are in there is where she tells Naomi that her God will be her, that Naomi's God will be her God, and that Naomi's people will be her people. And where Ruth becomes basically a proselyte Jew and becomes a follower of God the Father. So, to kind of give you that background of why they're going into this area. Now, the book of Ruth was written to the Israelites, and it teaches that genuine love at times may require uncompromising sacrifice. And at number four, we see here, regardless of our lot in life, we can live according to the precepts of God. Number five. Let's see here. I'm sorry, number four. Genuine love and kindness will be rewarded. God abundantly blesses those who seek to live obedient lives. Number five, obedient living does not allow for accidents in God's plan. God extends mercy to the merciful. Number six, the setting for the book of Ruth begins in the heathen country of Moab, a region northeast of the Dead Sea, but then moves to Bethlehem. Number seven, this story of love and devotion tells of Ruth's eventual marriage to a wealthy man named Boaz. So your fill in there is Boaz, number seven. So B-O-A-Z. B-O-A-Z. So Boaz, by whom she bears a son by the name of Obed, who becomes the grandfather of David and the ancestor of Jesus. Number eight, obedience brings Ruth into the privileged lineage of Christ. Obedience brings Ruth into the privileged lineage of Christ. Number nine, practical application. So if you check out Matthew 1:5, you will find that Boaz is the son of the prostitute Rahab. Ruth was a despised foreigner married to the son of a prostitute, but she was an ancestor of Jesus Christ, and these kind of things happen in the Bible, and we should be blessed that they do, because we have a master weaver that has a place in his plan for each of us. And so God uses people whom we would probably not use, and yet God allows them to be a part of his plan. Number 10, the story of Ruth illustrates that something good can come out of something bad. God works all things together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to the promise or his purpose. Sorry. And so the story of Ruth illustrates that something good can come out of something bad. Now, number 11, this book is a harvest story and a love story.
Harvest.
Yep. So H-A-R-V-E-S-T, harvest. So the book is a harvest story and a love story. As the Lord of the harvest, who is God, gathers his sheaves even in our day. So it's a perfect illustration for what God does even today. And next page, number 12, Ruth was from Moab. M-O-A-B. And the Moabites were excluded from the nation of Israel. So they were a cursed people that God didn't want them apart with the Israelites, yet he had great grace and mercy upon Ruth because she chose to be with her mother-in-law and repented of her nationality and desired to become the nationality of Naomi. Number 13, Ruth put her faith in the God of Naomi and was accepted. An illustration of God's grace to the Gentiles, which we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Again, imagine, here she is a Gentile, and that she actually trusts the God of Naomi. She gets saved, and she becomes a believer of God. And a great picture of grace, really it is. Number 14, Boaz, who is the kinsman redeemer, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price to redeem us and to make us his bride. So number 14, and Ruth. Okay. Page number 14 in, second page there. Okay. So Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, is a picture. So you're filling there as picture. Yes, picture. Number 15, several practical lessons that we see from the book of Ruth. Letter A, no matter how difficult the situation, if we surrender and obey the Lord, he will see us through. So your fill-ins there are surrender and obey. Surrender and obey. Letter B, no person is so far outside the reach of God's grace that they cannot be saved. No person is so far outside of the reach of God's grace that they cannot be saved. Again, it's a great picture of God's redemptive ability and mercy is what Ruth is. She's a picture of us as Gentiles. Letter C, God providentially guides those who want to obey him and serve others. So God providentially guides, G-U-I-D-E-S, guides those who want to obey him and serve others. Letter D, it does no good to get angry at God and blame him for our mistakes like Naomi did. To the point where she said, I'm going to change my name to Mara. Because I am in bitterness. She was mad. She was upset that her husband had died, and she was in bitterness. So the fill-ins there for letter D is blame.
Blame.
Yep.
B-L-A-M-E.
Yep, B-L-A-M-E. And then mistakes. There are no small decisions with God. Letter E. There are no small decisions with God. Letter F, it is wise to wait on the Lord and let him work out his loving purposes. After we have done all that we can do, we must trust the Lord to do the rest, and he will never fail us. That's a great truth. Number 16, this is the eighth book in the Old Testament, and eight is the number of new beginnings. Number 17, unlike the book of Judges with the violence and lawlessness of those times, the book of Ruth shows tenderness, love, and sacrifice. And it is good to know during these times that, letter A, there are still good people in bad days. Even though it seems like the world around us is wicked and is just turning their back on God and just evil, yet there are still good people there.
Still good people.
Not everyone is like that. Letter B, God is at work in the corners of the land, though violence may fill the news. Number 19, Ruth and Esther are the only books of the Bible named after women. So the first one is Ruth, and the second one is Esther. These are the only books of the Bible named after women. The story of Ruth is a great picture of Christ and his bride. Number 21, Ruth is an important part in Israel and Christian history because she became the ancestress of King David and of Jesus. Number 22, the period of the judges was one of turbulence and unrest that was marked by weak faith, so you're filling there's faith, and irresponsible conduct. Faith.
F-A-I-T-H.
Yep, faith. F-A-I-T-H, faith. Tribal jealousies and foreign oppression had weakened the Israelites politically. Idolatry had shattered the moral strength of the people. So you're feeling there is moral. M-O-R-A-L. Moral. Number 23, the story of Ruth presents a different side of life during the period of the judges. Ruth, the Moabitess, who became a worshiper of Israel's God, exhibited a faith and loyalty that was very rare at that time in Israel. During the worst of times, God reveals his love and still works on behalf of those who fear and trust him. Number 25, the famine could have been caused by the ravages of the invading armies that God used to discipline his people. 26, during the period of judges, peace was possible in one part of the land, while there was trouble in another part. Again, we looked at this in the book of Judges. Even though, the book of Judges isn't a chronological book. It actually shows you there was different parts all throughout that time period that was going through these upheavals. So in some areas there was peace, some areas there was strife and oppression. And so it wasn't just all of Israel at one time. It was different bits and pieces here and there. And this book kind of shows a great illustration of that, that even though there could have been trouble in another place, and here there was peace at that time. Number 27, the book of Ruth is actually read annually by Orthodox Jews on the Feast of Pentecost. So the Feast of Pentecost, P-E-N-T-E-C-O-S-T. And the name Ruth means friendship. Friendship. All right, let's go ahead and go to the next page there, the general outline of the book of Ruth. And again, we're not going to deal too much in depth with this because it's a very short book. But here we see a bitter journey and leaving the will of God and returning broken. We see Naomi's wrong decision by leaving Israel and going to Moab. We see her wrong direction, taking the wrong counsel of going there. And then we see Naomi's wrong demeanor, her wrong attitude. And with the death of her husband and her children. And so she blames God for them. And she leaves Moab in great bitterness, even though it was her own decision to go there. Secondly, we see that Ruth meets Boaz. And through that, God exhorts Ruth. He lifts her up. Boaz exhibits kindness to Ruth that she's gleaning after the Boaz's men are reaping in the harvest, and they were supposed to leave some of it for the widows and for the poor, and so Ruth was gathering up the gleanings, and so he allows her to keep gleaning in his fields. And then when Ruth tells Naomi about what's happened, Naomi encourages Ruth to keep on staying in his fields. Then Naomi directs Ruth to getting Boaz as a husband for Ruth. It's kind of funny, in chapter 3, Naomi now becomes the matchmaker. She knows that she can't give Ruth another son, another child. And so she knows that Boaz is a kinsman. He's a relative to a degree. And in that back then they had a special law called the Kinsman Redeemer, that a family member could redeem another family from hardship and things like that. And so Naomi plays matchmaker, and so she directs Ruth and get in to and Boaz together. And the neat thing is that Ruth respects and obeys Naomi's counsel. She could have said, "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to bother with this man." You know, she is a widow too. Ruth is also a widow. She lost her husband in Moab as well. And she could have said, "No, I don't want another husband." But she actually respects and obeys Naomi's counsel. And she relinquishes and submits to Boaz. And then Ruth, after, she remains and waits for Boaz to work. And so once she has put her plea in, she then leaves it in for Boaz to complete the deal. And in chapter 4, you see the marriage of Ruth and Boaz and the family of the future King David. In the beginning part of chapter 4, you see that Boaz claims or redeems Ruth in chapters 4, 1 through 12. And then that Boaz marries Ruth in chapter 4, verse 13. And then lastly, that Boaz and Ruth have a son, which is Obed. And then he becomes, again, the grandfather of King David. And so we're going to go ahead and finish there. And then we'll pick up in 1 Samuel next week.